Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, the farmers who say a new tax on land that could be used for housing may force them out of their fields. Sinn Féin's Matt Carthy calls for an election, but Fine Gael's Jennifer Carroll McNeill doesn't agree. We'll hear them debate. It is Western Europe's most dangerous nuclear dump and it's 180 kilometres from us. Mark Paul from the Irish Times goes inside Sellafield. Ireland's secret gardens and where to find them and how your GP can help you right throughout your pregnancy, Dr. Maura Finn. We'll explain, and if you have questions for Maura, 51551 is the number to text. You can also email us, todaycb@rte.ie. First this morning though, Antoinette Cunningham, the General Secretary of the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors, retired yesterday after working for 33 years, both as an active member of the force and also serving at every level of the AGSI since 2008. Well, she's stepping down at a time of unprecedented change within the Gardaí and also with law and order very high on the political agenda following on from the riots on the streets of Dublin in November of last year. And Antoinette Cunningham is here with me. Good morning to you, Antoinette.
Good morning, Claire.
And should I say congratulations on your retirement, and we'll talk about what plans you might have a little bit later on. But I wanted to bring your attention first to what the CEO of Dublin City Council, Richard Shakespeare, says on the front of the Irish Times today about Gardaí in Dublin. He says they're under-resourced in the city centre, too few Gardaí for the population. And he says that the criminals have been emboldened since the pandemic. Is that right?
Well, I think he's right on the resourcing issues. I suppose, look, at the end of February this year, there was 13,930 members of An Garda Síochána. That's probably lower than it has been for some considerable years. And I think everybody would agree there's a shortage of Gardaí right across the country. So to say that Dublin City is under-resourced, that's probably a matter for the Assistant Commissioner, DMR. But there aren't enough Gardaí in the country, and I think that's evident to everybody at this point in time.
He says that the capital can't be policed on overtime. Is that what's happening? Is that, to your knowledge, is that what's happening in the city centre?
Well, we know that the Justice Minister last year gave an extra 50 million euros of overtime to allow Dublin City to be policed effectively. So that's not sustainable in the long term. The only thing that's sustainable in the long term is a greater Garda presence around the city. That's what people want. That's what gives people confidence that their city is safe, is when they see uniformed Gardaí. And that's just not in Dublin, Claire. That's right across the country. People in small towns, the towns like Clonmel and Nenagh, and rural areas especially, country places, don't feel they see enough uniform presence of An Garda Síochána. And that's why I'm just not convinced the current model that the Gardaí have is the right model of policing for this country.
So what's wrong with it?
Well, this model originated in Kathleen O'Toole's Commission on the Future of Policing in 2018, and it was accepted by the government at the time. And the government have since continued with that reform agenda. And basically what it does is it centralises Gardaí, it pulls Gardaí from rural areas into cities and towns, and they police outwards from there in a sort of a call answering system. And I don't think that that's a proper model of policing for Ireland. I don't think one model of policing will fit city and country policing. I think rural Ireland needs a community based policing presence all the time. People are reassured in the country when they see a guard. People feel safer when they think their communities are policed by guards who are nearby and on hand. And I think we've lost that model. And I think it's a big issue for government. And I know the Fine Gael Ardesh is on this weekend. And I think policing and law and order is going to be a huge challenge for the leadership in Fine Gael.
Well, we've heard Simon Harris talking about that in anything that he has said since he became Fine Gael leader. So let's wait and see what he says at that Ardesh. Now, the rank and file Gardaí in the GRA, they voted 98.7% against Drew Harris, Commissioner Drew Harris's leadership. Do you think he is doing a good job?
Well, I can only talk from my perspective and the perspective of the members in AGSI and AGSI, where I worked for the last number of years in a key position in An Garda Síochána. And I had a very good relationship with Commissioner Drew Harris. I found him to be very accessible to AGSI. Anytime I sought to meet him, he met. Anytime I rang, he'd answer or return a call. If I put up an evidence-based, rational argument about something that was needed for the betterment of the members that I was representing, he would change his mind. He was very open and fair and professional. We had total access to the office of the commissioner. So I'm not sure what else that you need as a staff representative body other than access and the ability to make representations and the ability to achieve.
But you've explained how the structure of policing at the moment you feel isn't working. I mean, he's responsible for that.
Well, you have to remember that he's been given this reform agenda by the government. This is not Drew Harris's reform agenda. This is the government's reform agenda.
Is it not up to him, though, to say, to go back to government and say, if it's not working, that it's not working and it's the wrong model to follow?
Yeah, well, I think that's what happens. And this is why I think bodies like the police authority and those, and I know those bodies are now going to be amalgamated into the new community safety bill. I think, you know, there's massive change going to happen in the Guards. But I think, I do think the current model of policing needs to be revisited. And I think it needs to adopt a more community-based approach where people down in rural Ireland can say, I saw a guard in my village today.
Yeah, so I just wonder why the GRA members have such an issue with him then. Maybe you're saying that's misplaced. It's about the structure of policing. That's where the problem lies.
I think it is about the structure of policing. I think the Commissioner has been handed a reform agenda by government to implement, and I think that's what he's doing, is he's implementing their reform agenda. And I think it is timely now that that would be revisited. I know the frustrations that are in the Guards as well, Claire, and I think those frustrations can be borne out in maybe personalisation against a leader, for example, where you have policies that are in place that are not fit for purpose, where you have an organisation like GSOC who seem to have unfettered powers and don't answer to anybody about why Garda investigations can take 3, 4 and 5 years with no accountability.
Mm. Well, there needs to be accountability for the Gardaí as well, and that's why GSOC
absolutely
exists.
And I fully support accountability, but what I also say is there has to be fair and transparent processes, and investigations that go on and suspensions that go on for 3, 4 and 5 years without a process even commencing is wrong. That is not a fair and transparent process, mm-hmm. and that does need to change.
You're leading me now to a story that we've all heard about, the Garda and the bike,
yeah.
And that has dominated headlines in recent times. How damaging do you think that has been for the Gardaí?
I think, it's funny, you know, I travel up and down to Dublin a lot on the train, and I was coming up to Dublin about a month ago, and there was some women sitting opposite me, four women that were travelling up from Kerry, and they were talking about it on the train, and they were and I just sat there and I just happened to hear snippets of what they said, and I said, this story has gone into every part of Ireland when people are talking about it on the train on their way up to Dublin. And what's wrong with that story, Claire, is it took far too long. It's an injustice for people to be under investigation or suspension for years and years and years. And that is something that needs to be urgently looked at. Because if
that's the responsibility of the commissioner, though, isn't it? I know there was a DPP file involved and ultimately the guard was exonerated in that case. But
yeah,
that's an issue. That issue around discipline and the process, internal processes, that is an issue for the commissioner.
Absolutely. Well, internal processes and discipline is a matter for the guard commissioner. As you say, when a file goes to the DPP, that's outside of our control. Once it goes over there, no representations, no interference, nothing of any kind can happen until that comes back. That can take significant periods of time as well, as we all know. So maybe a file might be over in the DPP's office for a month, 12 months, 13, 14 months, which of course is prolonging the investigative time. But I do think that processes, both in GSOC and internally as regards discipline, need to be swifter, faster, fairer and more transparent.
Well, do you think the Garda, the commissioner, is too swift to suspend people from duty rather than transferring them, say, to desk duty?
Well, I mean, look, I don't think there's too swift, because every single suspension case is looked at individually. Every single suspension is reviewed regularly on a 3-monthly basis. I know that from my own experience of making representations for people that are suspended. And so they are reviewed quite regularly. Mm-hmm. But I think the processes around investigation is too long and too slow.
So you don't think he's too tough on discipline, because that is an accusation that has been levelled at Drew Harris?
Well, I think you have to be tough on discipline in an organisation like An Garda Síochána, because public perception and credibility of what what the organisation does is highly important. And if the public don't look upwards and have trust and faith in the people who are imposing the law on them, and they need to feel reassured that if there's something wrong here, there are systems in place where that can be addressed. But then you have the members on the other side who say, well, we don't mind being investigated if there is something wrong or an accusation, but we want that done quickly and fastly to exonerate us if we're in the right here.
You began by saying that numbers are down in the Gardaí. They're not where anyone would want them to be. And there's that suggestion that there should be 18,000 guards, which is far in excess of the mandated number. Mm. So what's the problem with recruitment?
I think the job is probably not as desirable as it may have been one time. Look, we've increased the age limit now for people who can join. That might bring in extra people, more mature people. We remain to see whether that will actually translate into more people on the street. I just think, you know, it's probably just not the same job as it was one time. You know, people looked at it as kind of a very good job one time. Now there's a lot of abuse. There's a lot of abuse directed at members on social media. There's a lot of trolling. There's a lot of, you know, assaults on Gardaí. You know, there's a lot of strict discipline procedures that we've just talked about. And if people feel that the whole thing is stacked against them too far, then they're not going to be desired to either join or to stay on. You know what I'm saying?
So what can be done about that? The camera in the face. And we've all seen that on social media with Gardaí. How can that be stopped?
I think social media partners have a huge responsibility here. I think there needs to be direct lines in to social media partners by the Garda organisation to say where you have an image of a guard who's doing their job and that's being distorted or being uploaded and they're on duty, there should be a power there to be able to take that down straight away. Mm-hmm. Guards should be able to be legitimately go about their job without fear of an out-of-context clip being placed on social media and they become the butt of everybody's jokes. It's just not right, really, you know.
There's been an increase as well in resignations. The number of guards who resigned last year was 164. Mm. That's up by 50% on the 2022 figure. So is that down to the same reasons, would you say? Do we know why those people are leaving?
Well, we in AGSI, we have not done exit interviews ourselves as an association because the organisation have started to do them with the assistance of a psychologist in the organisation itself. So they're going to identify and seek out the reasons why people are leaving. Anecdotally, look, sometimes people come into the job now for a few years. They don't see it as the whole of their career anymore, but maybe part of their career. And then they go on and do something else. Sometimes they just don't like the job. They haven't taken to it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they get a better opportunity or sometimes they just think it's not the job for them.
Well, guards are very employable if they decide to leave,
Absolutely.
Aren't they?
Well, I'll let you know.
You'll find out. So you are planning to go on and do something else, are you?
Well, I hope so in time. You know, I mean, I'm certainly open to any opportunities that might come along. You know, I mean, I've worked now for 33 years in the Guards. I'm actually, you know, I was working really since I was about 15 in part-time jobs and that before I joined. I have had a great career. I've loved it all. But it's definitely time to take a break now for the summer, at least, and then see.
Right. You know, what about politics?
I don't think politics is the career for me, Claire. I just don't think it is.
Well, you know,
I don't
some might argue that politics is pretty much what you've been doing for the last while in the job that you were in. So you mightn't need to upskill that much and have to go into it. Does it hold any appeal for you?
It doesn't really, Claire. It's not one of the things I've ever done. Advocacy is really the thing that I find myself strong in, negotiations, employee relations. And of course, I was a trainer in the Garda College for 10 years and my master's is all around adult learning and training is my degree. Mm-hmm. So those are areas that I'm very fond of, that I'm very aligned to, you know, and those are areas that I enjoyed working in very much. So I'm not going to think too much about it yet, Claire.
But, Take the break first and then,
absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. You were the first female full-time official in a Garda representative body. What was that like for you?
It was, I suppose, I regard it as a great achievement. It's something I'm very proud of. But it was challenging as well, you know. It's not easy and it hasn't been easy at times, you know. It's a very responsible role. It's a role I took very seriously. I was very passionate about it. And I think if you have a passion for something, I think that comes out in your everyday work. So I'm very grateful for both the opportunities in the Garda organisation. I was promoted twice to the rank of inspector and I was lucky enough to be left by Commissioner Harris in my role as General Secretary. The General Secretary role took me into circles that I'd never have got into only for it.
But it's still male-dominated at that level, isn't it?
It's very male-dominated. And our executive is totally male-dominated now. And, you know, it's sort of the classic maybe more senior age, dominated by men. And it's not a good thing, Claire, because it doesn't bring that perspective that's needed from the female voice. And also what I think is it's not representative of the female membership in the organisation. There's about one third females now in the Garda organisation, but that's not translating into positions on national executives in staff association or to full-time official roles.
Mm-hmm. You know? Maybe that should be mandated.
It should. It could, and that's a consideration. I suppose what you don't want then is tokenism. You want people who want to be in the role because they have a passion for it.
Yeah, but you have a situation, and you know it's like politics. If you have, as you say, a third of the force who are women, and yet on the executive body you have no women.
Yeah,
that's a big problem.
It is a big problem.
That has to be changed.
It has to be changed because it's not representative of the views. A total male executive doesn't bring a perspective that may be brought by female inclusion on that board.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is going to be a big challenge for executive boards going forward, and certainly going to be a challenge for AGSI.
Now, when you look back over the last 33 years, the problems that have faced members over that time, has there been dramatic change in An Garda Síochána since you started?
There has been dramatic change, of course. I mean, look at one third of the force is now female. That's a very welcome development, I think. There is a dramatic change, I think, around policing generally. There's more abuse directed at members now. And I think that's really regrettable. I think that the model has pulled guards away from the traditional model, and that's mutually beneficial for both the public and communities and the guards themselves who went and settled in these communities. So the guards has changed a lot in 33 years since I joined. It has certainly become a more challenging job, but it's still a very good job, and it's still a desirable job for a lot of people, and it's still a job that can give you a lot of opportunities, promotion, travel, experiences, and as I said, take you into circles you might never have been in. So I think it has changed, but some of that change is for the better as well.
All right. You know? Well, look, we'll wait to see what circles you're going to mix in next in your next iteration, Antoinette, but do enjoy the break when it comes as
Thanks,
well.
Thanks, Claire. Thank you very much.
Antoinette Cunningham, back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.